Welcome to the Roy Matlock Jr. Money and Business Hours, where he'll help you fix your finances once and for all. To reach Roy, call 615-843-2999. That is 615-843-2999, or visit RoyMatlockJr.com. Now, here's your host, Roy.
All right, we are alive and well and talking about money. And if you're tuning in right now, we're going to go through six components of a automatic financial independence plan. And you know, I always believe that planning is the beginning. You know, if you have a plan to win, you're going to have a lot more chance of winning. And so what are the six components? And if you're tuning in right now, if you want to get a lot of great information, visit RoyMatlockJr.com. Do the downloads, listen to the podcast. You know, the I've been doing this a long, long, long time. Started in 1992 talking about getting financial independent. I've had a lot of clients that have been with me since 1992, and we followed the same six components. And it begins with education and advice. You know, what you don't know will hurt you. And if you float along thinking things are going to get good by accident, it's not going to happen. So the first step would be, go to the website and learn about money. I've got 180 shows sitting on the website that you can tune into, little short segments just about getting it together. And then in that education, you start being able to talk a little more knowledgeable, we'll say. And then from there, you can ask good questions. And I'm not saying just to do this before you can get any advice, but you know, it's always good to be able to have a foundation of learning, and then from there you can ask questions, get good advice, and then you're able to make good decisions. And then once we meet with someone, that's the beginning. I like to always start with that. So if someone were to say to me, I'm interested in finding out, I'm going to send you maybe a podcast that will outline a little bit about how things kind of flow. Then from there, we would meet, and then I would meet with someone and redo a review of their current position. What have you done up until this time in your life? You're 40 years old, and from the beginning of this lifetime, where have you gotten to with your finances? We'll look at your assets, your liabilities. We'll find out what you've done good, what you have made some bad decisions on. We'll look at trying to recreate the best we can from where you're at. So if you're in debt, you've got some bad debt, we're going to work on getting that fixed. We're going to make sure that live or die, you're financially independent. We're going to get you on an automated plan where you're saving money. And so we're going to review that. We're going to look at taxes, really all the different things that go along with it. And then we go to step number three, which is create a defense. The defense is, think of the defense as the goal is to not lose. And that means we're not going to make bad choices. We're going to, if we do borrow money, we're going to have good debt. Good debt is money you can afford and money that you have tied to something that appreciates. It might be that you put money into a home or a business or something like that that has the ability for you to grow that money. We don't want to do bad debt. It's tied to simply you can't afford it, number one. And number two, it's tied to something that goes down in value. So we're going to do that. We're going to make sure that we're going to protect your income and your assets. Income protection is life insurance, disability insurance, things like that. We're going to protect your assets with proper health insurance, liability insurance, things like that, so you don't get hurt that way. So now we've got that in place. Then we go to an offense. The offense is, you know, we're going to run up the score with some growth-type models. We're going to create different income streams to allow you to have multiple ways to retire. And then from there, we go to number five. We go to a product marketplace. You know, you got to have products put in there, and we do that. We go make a product selection. We try to match products with your mindset. And, you know, are you a little more aggressive, a little more conservative? We're going to do that. We're going to go out and shop around and make sure you're getting the best buys when it comes to different products, insurance, investments, all that stuff. And then the most important thing after that is staying on track. And so we are kind of like a financial coach. What does that mean? Reviewing updates. So I just, before I did the show today, I had an appointment with one of my clients, early morning appointment, and we talked about the 401k allocations. We talked about how much money they're putting aside. We went over goals, and that's how we do it. And then we do updates and sometimes new products or things come along or taxes change, whatever it may be, and that's how we begin. And so today's show is going to be about how to build it. Segment number one is kind of the foundation of wealth, all right? you know, where your background is, what is your expertise when it comes to money, where are we going to start? And we start there, and then we get in the mindset that financial planning is important. I would not allow someone to be owning a home and not having proper insurance in the event of a fire or something like that. If you have a mortgage, they require it. But if you own the home out free and clear, you don't even have to do it. But I wouldn't let you do that. All right. But people actually forget to do things. And so what we do, we go in and we see these mistakes that get made. And it just, you know, sometimes they're very devastating. For instance, had a scenario where second marriage, both had kids, someone dies. And in that case, the previous wife was the beneficiary on the house, and his kids got cut out because he didn't have a will and a trust in place, didn't have proper planning. So I can go on and on and on. So what we do, we got to get started. Step number one is budgets. How do we set a budget up? We're going to get into that. We also want to make sure that we have automation built in called Pay Yourself First. And so what we want to do is at the end of the year, we want to make sure we made a profit on our work. Can you imagine just working 40, 50 hours a week after week, year after year, and you look back 5 years later and you're like, you know, what do I have? And you add up your savings and you got a little bit of savings and you look at your debt and you're in debt and you're like, I didn't make a profit. I've been working all this time and what's it about? I didn't make a profit. All right. And so what we want to do is we want to get in a position to where we automate the profit. And what we do by doing that is we get on a system. And that system is we put ourselves at the beginning of the line. We make sure that we have money going to us at the end of the day. And then how do you really move things? You say, well, I want to raise my lifestyle. I want to enjoy life. Well, what we do is we work on our value proposition to where we can go out and demand higher pay. And then that allows us to raise our lifestyle, but at the same time, always save money. And so to begin with, advice and education, we're going to get back at the break and we're going to start on some of the keys like pay yourself first and how compound interest works and time and consistency and diversification and all these kind of things. My name is Roy Matlock Jr. and you're listening to the Money and Business Hour. Visit RoyMatlockJr.com. We'll be right back.
Welcome to the Roy Matlock Jr. Money and Business Hours, where he'll help you fix your finances once and for all. To reach Roy, call 615-843-2999. That is 615-843-2999, or visit RoyMatlockJr.com. Now, here's your host, Roy.
All right, we're back and we're talking about getting ahead, six components of automated financial independence. And what we're going to do now is we're going to start with some of the fun stuff, which a lot of times I do the defense first. We're going to do the offense first today and talk about moving forward when it comes to saving money. First step that I would tell you to do is go to RoyMatlockJr.com and download the budget forms. And the budget forms allow you to start a plan that involves spending less than you make and creating a gap. I call it the gap you want to have is your income and your outgo. If you have a big gap between your income and your outgo, meaning you're ahead, your quality of life increases. If you have more going out than you have coming in, then that's not going to create a quality of life. What the reason that we plan our money is in order to have a comfort zone. And we don't want to get out of the comfort zone. And the way we stay in the comfort zone is that we make sure that as the month passes to the next month, we're further along financially. And if we do that, that takes care of a lot of problems. And, you know, you say, well, what about health? Well, if you have plenty of money, you can get some good health care. All right. I mean, the bottom line, there's a lot of things that money will help you with. And so first thing you do is get the budget form, and then it's going to give you a calculator where you can go through. You put numbers in, it calculates, it shows what you have, and then from there you'll be able to put aside money for maintenance and, you know, irregular expenses, all those kind of things. And I always tell people this, that the key to that is you go in to the budget form and you look and you say, well, what do I spend on a weekly basis? If you're married, you come up with whatever that number is, you know, for gas and eating out and all that kind of stuff. And then each of you have a debit card, and each week on a Sunday, if you want to do this, it takes you all of about 60 seconds. You go in each week and you move money into each other's debit card. And then that you spend. All right. And now you know at the end of the week, if you're out of money, you quit spending. And it's within your budget because you got everything automated. I even have an account, my bank account. I call it the draft account because every bill comes out of it. All my income comes into it. All of my outgo comes out of it. All right. And then that way I know where I'm at. So then part of that in that draft account is your pay yourself first account. And what that means is we're going to automate savings. Now, you got several ways you can automate it. If you have a 401k at work, that would be a way of doing it. If you do not yet have an emergency fund, you need to automate that. I always recommend like a money market account. We usually put it through an investment account, but it's a money market account. We can draft it. And then by drafting that, we go for the goal of 3 months of cash as a minimum. And we can couple that if you don't have debt. You know, we can couple that along with, your retirement savings. So you got 401ks. If you don't have it through your work or you're self-employed, what you would do then is set up an automatic pre-authorized checking account draft where money gets out of your account automatically. And then your mindset is this: I'm going to set these up, and all I got to do is make sure the money's in the account each month. And what's going to happen is I'm going to be automatically moving forward. Think about that. So if you choose, you say, well, I've got $1,000 a month I want to put toward getting free. And so we set that up, and we have X amount of dollars going to your 401k, maybe your matching funds. You got a life insurance policy that builds up some cash value. You got a Roth IRA. You maybe have a separate investment account that's more liquid, but it's growing. And it's $1,000 a month, and all we're going to do is just make sure the $1,000 a month's in there. And we ought just automate it. Think about that. We got a budget. We're not overspending. And we've got an automated plan to grow. Hey, we're off to the races right off the bat. Then give yourself time. You're consistent. We understand the magic of compound interest and diversification. We become an owner rather than a loner. So I'm going to go through and kind of give you some little tips that I think about. All right. We think about moving forward with our money. The first one that I always like to tell people about, it's a great story. I think it's one of the best investment storytellers you're going to have. It's called Become an Owner, Not a Loner. So think about this. If you drive through any major city, I'm in Nashville, and if you drive through one of the tallest buildings is the used to be the Life and Casualty building, the LNC Tower. It's an insurance company. And if you drive downtown, you'll see Pinnacle, the Pinnacle building, tallest building in town. What do they have in common? Well, people loan money to them, all right? And you say, well, what do you mean by that? Well, you walk in the bank or you go to an insurance company, and what you do is you loan them money, all right? And especially banks go in and they're like, yeah, we'll borrow your money for nothing. We'll pay you quarter point or something like that on a checking account, and we might even charge you a fee to loan it to us. All right, and then if you need it, we'll loan it back to you at a car, on a car at 13%, on a house, you know, at 7%, on a credit card at 22%. So what if you could figure out a way to borrow money for nothing and loan it back to somebody at 22%? Could you figure out a way to make some money? I mean, would that work? That's called being a loaner, all right? So we loan money to places like that, and that's why they got the biggest buildings. And you start thinking about, well, but I would rather be a loan, rather than a loaner, I would rather be an owner. Well, I mean, just buy stock in the bank and the insurance companies. I mean, that's pretty simple. If you own stock, you get your share of their profits. So here's an example. You put you loan $10,000 at a CD at 4%, 30 years, you have $32,000. But if the bank or the insurance company or the casino that you own, rather than being a gambler and losing your money in Vegas, you just own stock in the casino. All right? I'll give you, another example. I saw where if you put the took the money that you paid for your iPhone and stuck it into Apple stock, it was the difference in, I think, 100 times return. What about that? So why wouldn't you just go ahead and buy the stock and own it? I mean, and so what we tell people to do is, rather than be a loaner and put $10,000 in 30 years later and have $32,000, if you just got 8%, which is below in 30 years, you'd have $100,000. So 32 versus 100 just by being an owner rather than a loaner. That's an easy one, right? So what do we do? We go buy companies. That's what we do. We buy into companies. Now, how do we do that? We utilize something called professional money management. Now, what is a professional money manager? It might be a mutual fund, a managed account, something like that, to where we can put money, have some tie-in to upside. So an insurance company will have products that you can have insurance on your money. So if the market goes down, you take some of the, you have no risk on the downside, but you get a piece of the upside. So you're excited when the market's up because it's up, but you give up a little of it. It's a little bit of insurance on your money. Or you go into a managed account or a mutual fund and you let other people choose for you which are the best banks, which are the best, you know, casinos and every other company out there. And then you don't feel so bad when you walk into Starbucks and your coffee used to be $2.60 and now it's $3.10 because you own stock in there. And you know that I'm getting a piece of that upside if there's a little inflation. And so we utilize professional money managers who go out and diversify across hundreds of different companies, stocks, bonds, insurance, all that kind of stuff, with the idea that we're going to outperform loaning our money out. And we're going to start moving in the right direction. And so what we do, we start with a budget to where we spend less than we make. We set up a plan where we automate our savings. We put it into things that are not in a loanership position, but have some upside to it. We let that run, and one day we wake up and we say, hey, life is good. My name is Roy Matlock Jr. We will be right back. Visit RoyMatlockJr.com and download some of our tools.
Welcome to the Roy Matlock Jr. Money and Business Hours, where he'll help you fix your finances once and for all. To reach Roy, call 615-843-2999. That is 615-843-2999, or visit RoyMatlockJr.com. Now, here's your host, Roy.
All right, segment number three. Roy Matlock Jr. here. We're talking about automating your financial independence plan, and One of the things that we do as a company, we are an advisory firm, and everything that I'm talking about, we help you implement. And if you would like to do a 30-minute phone call, which we like to do that before we meet with you to find out whether or not we're a good fit for you and vice versa, pick up the phone and call 615-843-2999 or visit roymatlockjr.com, and you can schedule a phone call with one of our advisors. Additionally, if you are, you know, wanting to just start your education up, if you're enjoying the show now, there's everything on my website at roymatlockjr.com to help you get moving on that. And so when we went out of the break, we had started down the path of, you know, automating your financial independence. And it's a budget, it's time and consistency, it's you know, becoming an owner rather than a loaner. I'm going to talk a little bit about something called the Rule of 72, which the Rule of 72 is like magic. Once you understand the Rule of 72, I'm kind of weird in this respect, but when I learned about the Rule of 72 and found out that all I had to do is get a better rate of return on my money, it took no more effort just putting it into something that would grow faster, then it just bothered me to have my money at a low rate of return. I just couldn't stand it. And so I always said to people, I'm broke in my checking account, but rich in my investment account. So I always would start making a little more money, and I would call the fund back then, and I would say, bump my draft, bring it up another $100 a month. And so I had a good attitude in life. I would put like $300 in my pocket. So I wasn't broke in my pocket. I was broke in my checking account, and I was doing good in my investment account with the idea that, you know, I'm going to have my money working for me. I'm not going to let it sit and be lazy. And so let me give an example. If you took 48 years of working lifetime, this is something that I had a call yesterday where we set up five funds, $250 a piece, that were for the grandkids. And so one of the things that I told the lady, I said, look, if you go to the website, we do things called family financial workshops. So if you have teenagers, you can plug them in and they can learn how money works. We teach like the Rule of 72 and compound interest and how mutual funds work and stuff like that. So we set this $250 a piece mutual fund up. I had this idea years ago. I've got a big family, three sisters, older sisters. I've got nephews and nieces. I mean, you can't even keep up with all the people. Our Christmas is nutty. And so one day I was like, it was my mother's birthday, and everybody's going to get together. And I told all my sisters, I said, look, if there's any of the kids that are teenagers, if they don't have an account, now the babies, I'll do it too, but any of them that don't have an investment account, you tell them to be at my office. We're going to have a family financial workshop. And what we're going to do is I'm going to teach every one of our family members, if they ain't got there, all of my sisters, my brother, my mom and dad, they, you know, and a lot of my nieces, nephews were, you know, been clients of mine forever, but we're going to teach them all. And if they show up, I'm going to gift them $250 to make sure that they have a fund. And so I started that years ago, and I was like, that's a good idea. That's a real good idea. And so then what happened is I had families tell me, would you do that for me? And I'm like, sure, bring all your kids in. If they're old enough to understand, we'll do that, and we'll do a family financial workshop. And so yesterday I had one of my clients can you set those 250s up? And the benefit of the 250 is it gets into a large growth fund that you can add any amount of money to it anytime. You just attach your checking account to it. If you want to throw in 25 or 50 bucks, you can do that, and you can teach your kids how to do it. And here's why you want to teach them. The Rule 72 says this. If you get 4%, take 4 into 72, what's going to happen is your money will double in 18 years. If you get 8%, it'll be in 9 years. At 12%, believe it or not, there's things that have done that for a long time. I've got several of them that have done better than that for 50-plus years. But that would mean it would double every 6 years. Now, if you take $1,000 and you put it in there at 4%, it's going to double 2.7 times. And 48 years later, you got $6,300. That's a long time to take 1,000 into 6,300. But if you get 8%, you would think it would double. No, it doubles in half the time, and you have $41,000. But if you were to get 12%, it would double every 6 years, and it would grow to $256,000. So what's the difference in understanding the become an owner, not a loaner, and get a better rate of return? The rule of 72, same three people, $1,000. One has $6,000, one has $41,000, one has $256,000. That's the magic of compound interest, which is something we want to do. So then we want to get started early and do something called dollar cost averaging. That is effectively what we do when we have a 401k where we're buying into the market. I had a client today, we did some reallocation. We took some of the larger money that was in there. We backed it off a little bit, made it a little more conservative, but we made the contributions more aggressive with the idea that if we have pullbacks in the market, we're going to buy into the down. Now, I can't give advice to you listening right now. You'd have to sit down with someone. But I did give advice to one of my existing clients, and that was the kind of advice. And so what we do is we match advice and allocations to your situation. Dollar cost average means investing your money in equal portions at a regular interval, regardless of market's ups and downs. This strategy can help you manage risk by following a consistent pattern of adding new money to your investment over a long period of time. You automatically buy less shares when the market's up, more shares when the market's down. That's called dollar cost averaging. So now let's take a look. If you put $500 a month away for 40 years at 8%, that's $1.7 million. Now let's see what happens if you do it for only 30 years. You wait 10 years to start. You say, oh, hold on. Rather than starting now, I'm just waiting 10 years and I'm putting $6,000 a year. And so I didn't invest $60,000 and it cost you $1,324. So the difference is $500 a month, 30 years, 8%, $745,000. $500 a month, 40 years, $1.7 million. That waiting cost you $1 million for waiting. So when should you get started investing? Well, you should have got started 10 years ago. You should have got started yesterday if you're not doing it. But when's the best time? Now. All right? And then what we're going to do when we go into the final segment, and we'll get started with it, where do we put this money? All right, we know that we're going to get it into investment-related things, depending on where we're at in our life, lesser aggressive if we need it in a shorter period of time, more aggressive otherwise. And then we're going to take advantage of some IRS rules called 401ks, Roths, traditional, which should I do? IRA, should I do a deductible one or a tax-free one? If I'm a business owner, a SEP, or a solo 401k. And so what we do is we start now taking advantage of the IRS giving us money to invest. And then what happens is over a period of time, we're starting to see our money grow without taxes. All right? We've got different income streams, which I'm going to talk about when we come back. We've got your retirement plan, maybe through your work. We got your insurance plans that allow you to have more freedom to get your money back. All right. You've got your individual retirement accounts outside of your work. If you're self-employed, you do a SEP. You may do a health savings plan. So we got all these things with the idea that we're going to let the IRS get on our side. So we're picking our investments. We're going to tag them the right way to get the best tax treatment. Hope this has been moving the right direction for those of you who want to get ahead. My name is Roy Matlock Jr., and we will be back in just a short break. Visit roymatlockjr.com for all of our downloads. Let's go win the money game.
Welcome to the Roy Matlock Jr. Money and Business Hours, where he'll help you fix your finances once and for all. To reach Roy, call 615-843-2999. That is 615-843-2999, or visit RoyMatlockJr.com. Now, here's your host, Roy.
Jr., and we are finishing up our last segment, and we've been talking about building your offense and, you know, getting good advice and, you know, take advantage of all of the things that are out there so you are moving in an automated financial independence plan. I just keep saying automated because you got to make it where it's easy. I mean, I'll just give you one example. Back in the days when IRAs started, and believe it or not, when I was around, they were $2,000, where now you can put, you know, $8,000 into it, depending on your age. And so I was getting started, and people would, because they didn't understand all this automation and stuff like that, and they would call at the end of the year or whatever and say, I want to put my money in. And then some years they wouldn't do it. And then I figured out that the key to it was $166 a month. That was the answer. So if I could do $166 a month, get them started doing that, they would always do their $2,000 because they'd forget about it. I always ask them, I say, they tell me sometime, self-employed people tell me this all the time. They're like, yeah, I got irregular income. I got you. So do you have a irregular house payment? Have you ever tried that irregular electric bill? I don't think so. Or that irregular water bill. Nope, I don't ever do that. So you somehow figured out how to pay somebody else, right? But you're leaving yourself out. And so what we want to do is make sure that we're always doing something. So we got that $166 a month going in, and before you knew it, they were like, they forgot all about it, all right? They forgot that they were doing it. So we did that, all right? So what I would tell you is this, there's really about three things that work out for you moving forward that involve automation that you can get some tax benefits, all right? So we're going to talk about three with tax benefits. I'm going to talk about seven investment accounts. But when you're in the accumulation stage, I'm going to give you three of them. Of course, your company-sponsored plan. If you have a 401k at work, get your matching funds in. That's a good one. Now, you put in six, they match you three. That's an easy one. You get a tax deduction. That's easy. You've got your traditional retirement accounts, your Roth IRAs or your traditional IRAs. And then you have another product called Indexed Universal Life or IUL. You may have heard people talk about it. And what it does is it allows you to put away money and it grows tax deferred. You can pull it out tax free, but you're not limited to 59 and a half. So you can use it earlier for different things. And then it allows you to have permanent insurance that will stay with you until you die. And all of that money that was pulled out was tax free. How about that? So you've got tax deductible accounts, you got tax free accounts. And then you've got the insurance product, which allows you to not be tied into the 59 and a half. So if you have those three things, at the end of the day, you have three income streams. Now, what we do is look at someone's situation and determine which direction we're going to go. I had a guy, one of my appointments just this last week, he's like 38 years old, and he's like, should I do a deductible IRA? Or should I do a Roth IRA? All right. And I started looking at where he was at, and he had about $120,000, but making over $200,000 a year. So I wouldn't say he's ahead of the curve, but he's not, you know, it's kind of there. I said, take the deduction. All right. And if you get the deduction, we'll take the deduction, take the money that comes from the deduction, that'll fund another account. All right. Then when you retire, we will look at pulling some tax-free money out for from some of our different places, and we may convert those traditional accounts when your income is down. So there's a lot of different ways of doing it. But at the end of the day, that's where tax planning comes in. That's where getting all these things set up. But if you're really on track, you're going to have three accounts going toward what we call retirement savings. And then you're going to have other accounts that can be converted into things. So let me give an example. So if I look at, when I talk to people, it's like seven accounts that really kind of go into play. You got emergency fund, of course. You got retirement funds. You got college funds. You've got opportunity funds. What is an opportunity fund? I'll give you another example. One of my clients, he had a pretty good gain from a company got bought, and we put money into tax-deferred accounts. That would be like annuities. And when you're younger, you can do things called RILAs or variable annuities. I say younger, meaning you're in your 40s and you want growth. You go with those type of things. So you've got the growth and the tax deferral. If you're older, you might go into things called indexed or fixed indexed annuities, or fixed annuities or fixed indexed annuities that have some guarantees to it. But at the end of the day, an annuity allows you to grow your money tax deferred. That's what it is. It's treated like an IRA with no limitations on how much you put in. An opportunity fund is what I call money that you don't expect to use, but it's available to use. And so we had a situation like that and had a little over $100,000 in there. And as a result of it being liquid, even though we had it in like a balance fund, if I remember right, so it wasn't really aggressive, but it had some growth opportunities to it. He was able to take that money out and buy out a partner. All right. And the cool part about buying that partner out, that $100,000 and a little bit more, was almost, because of owning his business, 100% return on the money. All right. Because he was able to buy the partner out, get the income stream that was going to the partner. Had he not had that, he would not have been able to do that. And so that's opportunity funds. It's funds we probably don't need, but they're available. The college funds, of course, you got 529 plans. Had another lady ask me, who was out in the state of Oregon, you know, I'd like to have something for my kids, you know, grandkids, but I don't necessarily want to make it only be for college. So college funds are, you know, your 529, your educational savings account, but you can also do what they call UTMAs or UGMAs, and that's an account that's tax beneficial to in the accumulation stage, but it becomes their account for anything when they're 21. So here's how this works. Emergency fund, retirement funds, college funds, opportunity funds, non-retirement tax deferred funds. That would be the annuity stuff. We got funds when we retire that are designed for income, lifetime income guarantees. That comes from annuities. So I was looking at one of the annuity carriers, age 70, guaranteed lifetime income, 8%. Now, they change all the time, okay? But you think about that. Lifetime income guarantees tied to your Social Security. I call it funds for income. We have funds for health care, which nursing home, you know, long-term care type things. Now they have annuities that if you use it, then you pay the first portion of it out of your pocket, and then it may double or triple in the event you go into a nursing home or anything like that. So we have that. But if you don't use it, it's your money. All right. So now what we've done is we've got all of this. Don't you think, though, we've got all of this automated. Think about that. You just got to have the money in your account. Now, as you accumulate money, if I start with people that are, you know, in their 20s and, you know, getting started, I remember when I got started, I was so excited because I've opened up a mutual fund account. Guys, I put $50 a month in. That's how I got started. $50 a month. I had a mortgage. I was married. Had a term life insurance policy. It was about $50 a month. My financial plan was $100 a month. And then as time went on, my income went up. I would just keep bumping it and bumping it and bumping it tour all the time. I just had money being drafted. And so I did that. I had my emergency fund. You start that. You know, if I meet you right now and you're just new, you're new to the world of getting started. We might have money going in an emergency fund. We got something going in a retirement plan. We got your life insurance policy. In the event you die, we have term. We have a retirement plan in the life insurance. We got that. We might have money going to your kids' college education. We got some other money over here that's, we got money going everywhere. But you know what we got? We got money working for us, and we have it automated. Then, if we meet up with you and you're 45 years old, we're going to take a look. We're going to say, okay, where are you at? And you tell them, well, I got this much money, da, da, da. So you have any 401ks that are sitting there unwatched? And people are like, yeah, I changed jobs, never did anything with it. Okay, well, we need to talk about that. What are you doing for, you got $80,000 in the bank? So you're loaning the bank $80,000 and nothing? Oh, the IRS, you got a big tax refund. You loan them some money too for free. All right, man. All right, so let's see what we got here. So not fully funding your 401k, but you could. All right, gotcha. Uh-huh. So let's see what else we got. Oh, we got some credit card debt, but you got that money in the bank. Oh, man, I can get you a 20% return on your money right off. We're just going to move that money out of the bank, pay your credit card off, take the money you're paying, and put it into something. And I'm looking, life insurance. Oh, you make $100,000 a year, and you got $200,000 of life insurance and two kids. All right? That is a recipe for a GoFundMe account, right? See how it works? So we're analyzing. Oh, you got some cash over here you don't really think you're going to use. All right, let's stick it into an annuity that could grow tax deferred for the next 15, 20 years before you do it. You're retired and you're sitting there and you got all your money in your retirement plan through work in the S&P 500 and you're like getting ready to potentially get killed with a market downturn. You don't have any long-term care coverage. Guys, this is what we do. We look. And we pay attention. And then once we do that, we make a plan. It's kind of the goal, then the plan. What's the goal? The goal is to get free. The plan is we're going to get our money working for us. We're going to make sure live or die, disabled, whatever it may be, we're going to get it going in the right direction. Hey, if you're tuning in right now, my name is Roy Matlock Jr. I would encourage you to go to our website. You can schedule a 30-minute free call. We will be happy to work with you no matter where you're at. If you want to get started, give us a call or visit roymountlockjr.com. We'll be right back.